I wanted some, give me some water. With
it's
give me
some. Already,
oh, wonderful, wonderful. He's such a faithful man of God. Thank you. Amen. I'm excited about what's going on in this place and the word. I don't know about you. The word has challenged me to the point that I know that if I don't stay in the word and stay before God, that I won't be keeping up with what God is doing here in this assembly. And I know that God just has some awesome things as we not only take the word, but as we apply the word in our lives. It's one thing to hear, and again, the pastor has said, it's another thing to listen and to apply that word. And God gives us every opportunity to do so. I've had so many exciting experiences in the past weeks. I won't be able to share them today with you about my walking and how God has brought people into my life. Because I used to walk, and I've been doing that for a number of years. And it's an exercise by doing it, but it's also been a time of prayer and a time of meditation and a time of the Lord speaking to my heart. Some years ago when I started that, people used to walk with me, but it just wasn't working for me. Usually it was early in the morning, about 5:30 or 6 o'clock, and somehow I saw that as a time to just kind of spend before the Lord. So more and more I began to walk by myself, and God really just opened that up for me. But some years ago, the Lord let it be known to me that he's going to bring people my way, that it's not just walking, it's not just having that time to myself, but it's a time for God to use me to minister to others. And so I didn't know how that was going to happen. A lot of times I would speak to people and just keep on walking. Well, God spoke to me and let me know how it was going to happen. You're going to have to stop and take time with people and not just speak and walk. And so when I began to stop many times and take time, God began to open up some ways in which I could reach out and in ways in which they reached out to me. But it's just some wonderful experiences that God has brought me through. And I come this morning knowing that God has a word for me as well as you. I don't get into the scriptures anymore, just trying to get some knowledge for myself. But I want to hear from the Lord. Yes. So that word can get in my heart, because I never know what issues will come up and what situations in which I will need that word. And this may sound trite to some of you, but I know the pastor will understand. He talks about Superman, and so it's obvious he was into Superman at one time. And mine was Captain Marvel. Okay. Captain Marvel, I still think about it, and just like you can tie a lot of the things that Superman was all about to the scriptures, Captain Marvel is the same. Some of you won't remember, and some of you choose not to remember. There are many of you who never heard of him. But Captain Marvel was kind of the alter ego of a young man called Billy Basin. And Billy Basin was a young man. He probably was a teenager. And Billy Basin was very unassuming. He was like your Gideon. Nobody really noticed him because there was not much to notice about him. He just simply kind of did not, he kind of faded out and mixed with the environment, but he was not one that people would say, oh, look at that guy, even when he spoke. But there was something about his life that people did not know. There was a call upon his life to be a superhero, and people were not aware of that. There was this superhero in that time called Captain Marvel. He wore a red suit with a big lightning rod on his chest and a white cape. And Captain Marvel used to do some supernatural things, just like Superman. Except that Captain Marvel, I think, was a little more human in the sense that he made mistakes. Superman didn't make too many mistakes, but Captain Marvel used to make mistakes, and he used to get down on himself. But he was a very powerful superhero. To make a long story short, Captain Marvel was the alter ego of Billy Basin. Billy Basin used to go around every day not knowing when he would have to become Captain Marvel, his alter ego, and save somebody, rescuing somebody, counseling with somebody. And so he just walked around anticipating. And there were times when he was called and there was this formula in his mind that he would grab hold to, and a word, Shazam. And Shazam was a word that brought a great transformation in his life. He didn't have to run into the proverbial phone book. He just said that word, Shazam, and suddenly, in the place of this young weakling, there was a supernatural alter ego called Captain Marvel, who is ready to deal with the issues. One of the things that I really continue to look back at and can tie to the scriptures is that when you get up in the morning and you have your Bible reading or prayers, that is the time to ask God to give you the word you need today, to give you the power today to deal with any of the issues that come before you, and plead the blood of Jesus over your life, and ask God for his divine protection and favor, not just you, but your family. And then you go out prepared to be a Billy Basin, just waiting for the call of God. And this is what God did with me on my walk. And I went around kind of anticipating. And then when God brought somebody into my life, I knew that this was the moment that I had been looking for. This was the moment that Billy Basin had been looking for. And then when it was done, he returned to being Billy Basin. Amen. Just a mild-mannered young man. And so I wanted to mention that because I'm going to talk to you about some things. If you will stand with me, and we're just going to read a couple of passages from Jeremiah. Turn to chapter 1 of Jeremiah. And we're going to stay in this book just for a moment. Jeremiah chapter 1. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Verse 12. Let me see if I got the right glasses. Let me get my glasses. They're in my pocket. Thank you. Forgive me. I now have to use two pair of glasses, one for reading, one for seeing. Amen. Then the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word." Other versions may say, "I'm watching over my word to perform it." You got that?
Yes.
Jeremiah 1 and 12. Now look at chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 28. We'll go just to the second part of that. I have purposed and will not relent, nor will I turn back from it. Amen. Amen. Precious Father, we thank you for your word today. Ah, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. May it be so for us today, Father, that we will receive your word in good ground. May the seed of your word be planted deeply within us. May it be watered again and again by meditating in your word day and night. Lord, strengthen us by thy word. May we be built up in the most holy faith by thy word. May your word become even as our necessary food. May we delight in your word. And Father, may your word continue to show us your ways and your will and purpose for our lives. Now, Father, may our ear be open and may our hearts be fully set to not only hear your word, but to heed it for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated. I want to talk from a topic just for a short moment about the certainty of God's purpose. Certainty, a word that talks about something fixed, something settled, something that is determined, something that is not to be doubted. If it's certain, you're asked not to doubt it. If something is certain, it may even be inevitable. That means it's almost certain to come to pass. Now, you can't say that about the weather report, okay. you can hope that, you know, if they are giving you a weather report that it is certain, but you can't always depend on that, and we all know that. But when you talk about certainty, you're talking about something that is fixed and established and will come to pass. You can apply that to the whole word of God, to all of his promises, to all that God has spoken, because he himself said, this is the certainty of my word. When it goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty. It will not return to me void. That means it's inevitable. And when God speaks that word to our lives, then we can take it to the bank, no matter what it looks like. I heard beautiful testimonies this morning about how God is working in someone's son, someone's family, how God is causing us to understand that he is faithful. Here we have some children in the military, and we have trusted them to the word of God, to the promises of God, to the divine protection of God. And we know that we can do that because of the certainty of God's purpose for their lives. Amen. We raise our children, and our children are a gift to us, and we enjoy them, and we like to sow into their lives many things, including our own wishes and desires sometimes. But we have to realize at some point that God already has a plan and a purpose for their lives. And to allow them to begin to move into that purpose, even to help them, even as David helped his son Solomon to move into the purpose of God. And so we begin to understand that there is a certainty to the purpose of God that we cannot escape. When I was about 5 years old, that was the first time I began to realize that there was something happening in my life. I was, of course, just out of kindergarten, and There was a young man who came to live with us. My parents had separated and were divorced, and I was staying with my grandfather at the time as my father was working on getting custody. There are three of us. I have two sisters, and we were all separated. One sister was with my mom, and they were living in New York. The other sister was there with my grandparents, and as my father got custody of me, then she would be there, and I would be with my father. So we were going to be kind of split up. But while I was there with my grandfather was a pastor. He was a holiness pastor, we call him, but he was a Church of God in Christ. And in that day, I would say they were pretty stern in terms of raising us. But nevertheless, it was a good environment for me to be in, because at 5 years old, I had kind of a sensitivity to the Lord that I probably wasn't aware about, and yet I had a heart to do things that pleased the Lord. My grandfather had a tent in the backyard. He had a garage right next to that. And during the warm months, he used to have revivals out there. And during the other times, my sisters and I would have revivals out there. And I would I would be the little preacher, and they would be the congregation. And you know, I just did it because, it was something I wanted to do, and I used to mimic my grandfather all the time. I used to mimic him in church, and he used to give me this stern look sometime that let me know, no, this is not to be done right here, and we'll see about this later. But something happened at one period when my grandfather began to have people that came and you know, who were ministering at the church, and sometimes they would stay with us a couple of days. A young man came and stayed with us a whole week. He was about 12 years old. I'll never forget him because he was like the brother that I never had. And he treated me like a little brother. He took me everywhere during that week. He had a bicycle. He rode me on his bicycle. He bought me candy and everything. I mean, he just treated me like a real little brother that he loved. But I also had an opportunity to hear him preach. And he was 12 years old, just a dynamic, on fire, anointed preacher. It was like, again, Billy Basin. He was, you know, a big brother during the week and just a normal boy, but when he got in that pulpit, my God. And I was sitting out in the audience, and my whole inside just kind of opened up to what God was doing in this young man. And it was like God was speaking to me then and was saying to me, this is your call. And when this young man left, it really left a hole where he had filled it with his life. And some years later, when I was about 13, the call of God became real in my life, and I became a licensed boy minister. But I tell you that to say to you that there's a call upon all of our lives. God has a plan. God has a purpose. The Bible lets us know right here in Jeremiah that before he was formed in the womb, God knew him. God set him apart for his purposes. And so that purpose will be fulfilled. Now, having said that, we're not looking at Jeremiah today. We go to Jeremiah because I want to set up a context for the fact that the certainty of God's purpose is given to us in our lives, whether God speaks it to us directly or whether he speaks to our parents as he did with Samson. He spoke to Samson's mother about that purpose. If you remember the story of Samson, his mother, like Samuel's mother, was barren, had no children, was childless. And an angel came and spoke to her and told her that she would have a son, but not just a son, but a son who had a purpose and an anointing from God. And so she was told that she would have to prepare for him by not eating certain things. She was to prepare for her son by doing the same thing that he would have to do, become a Nazarite. And a Nazarite had to make a vow and live by that. And he was supposed to abstain from certain things, eating and drinking. And the one most critical thing was that he was never to allow a razor to come near his head. Amen. He was not to have his hair cut. And so as we look at Samson, and the reason we're looking at Samson is because many people write Samson off. They look at Samson as a purpose that was not fulfilled, a man who perhaps did not accomplish what God wanted him to accomplish. But I would tell you today, if you look into the Bible, if you look into the scriptures, that Samson accomplished the purpose of God in his life, even though Samson didn't have the kind of relationship that Samuel had, that many others had, but God's will and purpose was fulfilled in Samson's life. And so, you know, a lot of times we read about people and we kind of write them off in our minds and heart, and we say that well, you know, there'll never be anything. And if something happens to them, we say, boy, they did not fulfill their purpose. They did not live long enough to serve the Lord. But we are not the judges. Amen. Amen. God is the judge, you see. And so there is a certainty of God's purpose. And even as I re-looked at the story of Samson, it really spoke to me, because he was a man and had just a divine promise over his life. But at the same time, he had an anointing over his life that he was very much aware of. And that anointing came in the way, as you know, of a supernatural ability and strength to do great and awesome things. And the problem with Samson, of course, was that he lived in a time where the environment, the social milieu, if you will, was a people who did not have anybody who was leading them. God had set up judges to judge the people. That is, the judges had more of a military kind of responsibility to defend the people, but they did not set up a place of authority to rule over the people. So the Bible says every man did what was right in his own eyes. And so, you know, Samson grew up in that kind of environment. The other thing you begin to see when you study Samson is that you don't know much about him when he was a child. In fact, you don't know anything until Samson is already grown. He is a man. And he's saying to his father, I went to Timnah. This is in the area where the Philistines were. The Philistines at that time were over this people. They were ruling over them by the will of God. God kept coming to his people and say, put away the idols. Close down the high places. Stop giving yourself to evil and wickedness and return to the Lord. And the more God spoke to them, the worse they got. And so for 40 years, God gave them to the Philistines to be dominated by them. At this time, these were the people who were in charge, if you will, who were taking advantage of God's people under God's watchful eye. I say under God's watchful eye because you can read the scriptures and again and again. When the people repented, God took them back. God restored them. God showed them how much he really loved them. You see, you know, we need to continue to take that page from the Bible where God shows us that he has unconditional love. And his love is relentless. In fact, we don't even have to read the Bible for it. We just have to look at our own lives and see the relentless love of God. And how many times have we strayed? How many times have we walked away from his will? How many times have we kind of closed the door to communicating with him? And yet, when we found ourselves in that path and repented, God made us whole. He restored it. It was just like it never happened. Amen. I told you that I became a boy preacher at 13 years old. At 18 years old, I stepped out of it. That is, I became a backslider. I was on my way to college. I'll never forget it. This young man who was going with me, we were going kind of on the buddy plan. And his mom really, you know, really admired me. You know, I was her son's counselor to her, her son's advisor. If he hung out with me, he was going to be all right. That's how she felt. And we're going to college together. I know my son's going to be all right. Well, you know, I felt pretty good about that. I didn't know what was in store. But when we got to college, it was not he who had the problem. Amen. You know when you're living in such a way, and I did, I tried by the grace of God and by the strength of God to live a righteous life as a child, but then you get introduced to a new environment, if you know what I'm talking about, and suddenly, you know, you're away from home, you're away from those counselors, you're away from the place where you know that you are walking in a certain way, and you begin to walk in a new way. And so instead of me having an influence on him, he had more of an influence on me. And I began to phase out of what I was all about. And like Samson, I began to do my own thing. And that's the kind of atmosphere he was in. And so he went about having his own way. In fact, you know he wanted his own way because he didn't ask his parents to meet this young lady so that they could see that he wanted to please his parents. He said, I saw her and I want her. And his parents said to him, but she's of the Philistine. She's in other words, she's not one of us. She doesn't belong to God. But he said, that doesn't bother me. Here are the actual words he said. I believe she's right for me. And so he had to have her. And that began a spiral down. Now, he was a young man who tore a line apart with his bare hands. Okay. Now, he didn't tell his mom and dad that because he didn't want to get into all the particulars of how he broke his Nazirite vow by reaching into that canvas, that part of the line that he saw when he went back and saw honey. And he reached in and grabbed that honey and took some with him. And so he didn't want to get into that with his parents, so he didn't tell his parents where the honey came from. So in essence, his mom, who had also sworn to the Nazirite vow and took it, found that she was made unclean by that very act. And so her son really didn't concern himself with her. This showed where his attitudes were. He began to have more of, if you will, hardening of the attitudes and making his own choices and his own decisions. So as we look at Samson, we see a life that spirals downward, and he's constantly, you know, allowing the Spirit of God to move on him when it was necessary, but he wasn't the one who was calling upon the Spirit of God when he needed to walk with God, when he needed to know God. That was not his lifestyle. So he did not have a lifestyle of seeking the Lord. And I say to you this morning, if your lifestyle is not one of seeking the Lord, it doesn't mean that God's word is not over your life. It doesn't mean that God will let you go. If there's a hook in you for a specific purpose for God, it will be fulfilled. Now, God will do it with you or without you, but he will fulfill his purpose. Amen. And so for Samuel, for Samson, he wasn't aware that God was still moving him toward a certain purpose. But he used Samson's aptitude and attitudes to do it. Samson had a great hatred for the people of Philistines. And, it didn't bother him to go out and kill thousands of them with one fell swoop. You know, he had that kind of strength. He had that kind of power. And the Holy Spirit fell on him for such power. But it was because God decided to use his very hatred against them to do what God had called upon him to do. And that is, and listen to this very carefully, that is to begin the delivery of his people. To begin. He did not call Samson to deliver his people, but to begin the deliverance. That was his call. And so to begin the deliverance of his people, God used that anger. One of the things that we begin to see is that more and more Samson got into this habit of getting everything his eyes saw, everything that his ears heard. In other words, he did like everybody else what was right in his own eyes. And I say to you today, that's the kind of environment that we're facing in many areas of our lives, in the schools, in the workplaces. People are doing what is right in their own eyes. More and more you're seeing that people are throwing away the standards that our forefathers wanted established in this country to serve the true and living God. Not only that, but to establish communities and cities and states that had moral standards for everyone living in those places. And now those moral standards are being done away with. And so we're living in that kind of world where everybody does their own thing. But thank God for the precious saints who are filled with the Spirit of God. We don't have to go there. We don't have to act like everybody else. God has called for us to stand faithful and to be those who shine as lights and sought the places where God assigns us. And so we thank God that we have the Lord Jesus Christ. His Spirit dwells within us. And by the strength of his Spirit, we can live a different life. We can live a life that is consecrated unto the Lord. Well, Samson didn't have the Holy Spirit living in him, but he never cultivated a relationship with the Lord. It wasn't about a relationship. It wasn't about religion for Samson. He just knew he had this power that used to come over him, and he used that for his own personal advantage. He became a pawn for his own, his own unrighteous attitudes. Whatever he wanted, he found a way to get it and to do it. Well, it was his undoing, as we all know. It became his own undoing. And so there are things that we glean out of Samson that we need to look at, because we begin to recognize a pattern in his life. And even as God fulfilled his purpose in him, it was that pattern that says to all of us, you can make the choices. You can make the decisions. You can't control the consequences. You see, God has given us free choice. And then he's given us his word to tell you how to choose. But he leaves it up to you to choose. Samson made a lot of choices. many of them wrong choices. But he set himself into consequences that he could not control. And isn't that what Paul says? That which you sow, you shall also reap. Amen. You can't sow something and think that it's not going to come out with a harvest. And so if you're going to sow, you want to sow something good. You want to sow something that's going to be beneficial. You want to sow something that's going to do you and somebody else some good. You don't want to sow something that's going to come back to haunt you. I heard the pastor use the word this morning, and my heart leapt when he used the word boomerang, because that's exactly what you're doing when you're sowing evil and don't recognize that it will boomerang. It will come back to you. Amen. And so that's what Samson was doing. And even with his hatred against the people, he was not one who was very forgiving. And he even played with his gift from God, if you will. At one time, he challenged these companions, if you will. He challenged them to guess a riddle. And that riddle had to do with his killing of the lion. And the riddle had to do with the fact that he found honey in that lion's carcass. And so he set this riddle. He said, out of the eater came something to eat. And out of the strong came something sweet. Amen. And they were supposed to guess what it was. And 3 days they struggled. And they couldn't get it. And then on the fourth day, they did what they would normally do, cheat, and try to find some other way to get it, because what he had promised, he would give them 30 pieces of clothes, I mean the best clothes and the best change of clothes and linen garments. And so that was what they were vying for. And so how did they decide to do it? They went to his wife. They went to her and her family and threatened them with death by fire. Amen. And so she begged and begged and begged. For 7 days she begged him to give her the answer to the riddle. And he finally gave her the answer. And when they came back with the answer, he knew where it come from. And the statement that he made sounds so today. Had you not plowed with my heifer, you would never have known the answer to this. Amen. So he knew what was going on. And it made him angry. And whenever he got angry, it was like this spirit of power came over him. But that was the purpose of God. God used that anger because God wanted to destroy the Philistines for their domination over his people. And so he used Samson's life for that. He used his anger for that. And so he went out and destroyed more people. Well, you know, enough of destruction, because we know his life was full of that. And then finally, he got in too deep with Delilah. Amen. I say this because your thoughts give way to certain talk in your life. You know, you're not apart from your thoughts at any time. Your thoughts are always with you. And how much of your thoughts are turned into words, you don't know. That's why the Bible says you got to watch over your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. But we're always filled with thoughts, some good, some evil. And we've got to be discerning enough about our thoughts, because they do become words. You know, sometimes we say things like, she makes me sick. You don't want to say that, because that's word. But it had to come from thoughts. Amen. You know, the Bible lets us know in Psalm 139 that God knows our thoughts from afar. And then it goes on to say, he knows the words, what we're about to say before we say them. You see? And so our thoughts eventually become our words, and we have to be careful what we think of. So that's why I believe Paul continue to admonish us, meditate on these things, things that are worthy and honest and trustworthy of good report, things that will become your words. Amen. And when your words become these things that will benefit you, that will strengthen you and others, then your thoughts are having the kind of result that you want, because it doesn't stop with your words. You see, your words become your action. You know, the more you talk, the more you act on how you talk. Amen. If somebody in the back of the room yelled fire, we would not just sit there and say, uh-huh, okay. I wouldn't. You know, and you don't try to run around and investigate and try to find it before you believe it. You know, most people would be finding, trying to find the next door. And we're going to have in this building a fire escape plan, you know, just in case somebody yells fire. Amen. And just because, you know, it could be a real thing. But the point is, you move because somebody spoke something and you move. So those words become action, and action in our lives become habits. Amen. They become habits. And once something becomes a habit, you're no longer thinking about it. You know, it just happens. You just do it. Can't you see where I'm going with Samson's life? He just started doing things without thinking about it. You know, and he, because he wasn't thinking about it, he didn't understand that it was three times he was tested by Delilah. And each time he submitted to her as though like a little boy. Well, you know, if you say so, this is how you get to my strength. You know, do this, do that. You know, one time his hair was tied to a loom. One time he said, get some new ropes, you know, and tie me up. And then three times before he actually came out and told her, well, you know, they say I'm a Nazarite. And as a Nazarite, you know, a razor's never been near my hair. Now, you know, Samson at this time was very much perturbed, very disturbed by her constant nagging at him. And even though three times he had to come to the challenge of the Philistine coming upon him, it didn't dawn on him that, you know, something's wrong with this scenario. This young lady, you know, for some reason keeps calling these people. I keep telling her this, and then something happens. It didn't even dawn on him. So you see, you know, his habit was to do what he wanted to do, but at the same time, he was smitten by love. And so he was willing to do what he had to do. And then this last time, the Bible tells us that when they came, he had told the truth. And his hair was cut off. But he didn't know that it would be a factor. You see, and so, you know, often in our lives, you know, even though we have a call upon our lives, even though we have God's grace and wisdom in our lives, we've got to realize that we are still in control of our choices. And our choices can take us farther and farther away from God, especially when our thoughts are no longer things that we meditate on continually, to, if you will, examine them to see if these are right or not. And he never did that again. And so, to make a longer story short, we all know the end of Samson. But we know that the way his life ended, that somehow during those times when he was there in prison, something happened and he came to that place where he recognized that I have not obeyed the Lord. And though the Bible doesn't let us know, but by his very actions, it lets us know that he repented. And guess what? I know in my heart that God restored him. He fulfilled the will and purpose of God. The Bible says at the end, he killed more by his death than he did his whole life. But wasn't that the purpose of God? It wasn't the end of the Philistines, but he began the downfall of the Philistines. He began what God said he would begin, the deliverance of his people. Amen. I want to challenge you today. Kind of go back like I did. Kind of look over your life. Think about the things that made you excited when you were younger. Maybe you no longer do them. Maybe you thought that was just a phase, something you went through, but now you're older and you no longer have that in you. But you got to ask yourself, do you no longer have it in you because you grew up or because you decided that you wanted something else? Sometimes we go away from the very thing that God has placed in us as we expose ourselves to others and what they are doing and what they say and what they say we should have. Sometimes we find ourselves moving in directions that God hadn't intended. But I want you to know that if God has a certain plan for your life, he never changes. See, he's not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He's relentless, and he has a purpose to fulfill in your life. So I challenge you to get before God, to get before his word, and kind of go back and ask the Lord to kind of open up to you. When did he first speak to you concerning his purpose? When did he first make it known to you? I was really excited. I'm going to close here in a minute. I was really excited because my father, who I only saw in church one time, but he was the one who used to sit down with me and read the Bible to me and explain many different things to me. He brought me my first Bible. I still have it, believe it or not. I'm not going to tell you how old it is, but I still have it. The cover is still on it. It's a Bible storybook. And it goes through, and I used to read that thing from cover to cover. And you know, that I look back on that, and I see all the way where, you know, God had this plan in my life. And it inspires me. It still inspires me. But it inspires me more because I know that God still holds that plan in his heart. And he just wanted me to continue to be reminded that he has a purpose for my life. I just want to encourage you. You know, we're moving in a time again when, you know, you might likely forget if you're in the wrong kind of environment. And that's not to say that you're not there because God wants you to touch people's lives. So you may be in a place where you're working and everybody is doing their own thing. The thing is not to let that environment, you know, bring contamination to your dreams and your hopes and the thing that's in you that God has purposed for you. Don't let it change what's in you. You know, every one of you, every one of us has something different since we came to Jesus Christ. And what's different in us is that we have a new mind. We ought to have different thoughts than the world. You know, our thoughts should not become words that do not speak of the grace of God and the Spirit of God within our lives. So even though we may have some wrong thoughts, we ought to be able to discern those thoughts quicker now because they're not like what's going on inside of us. There is a character that's being created in us as we are faithful to walk with the Lord and to honor his thoughts in our lives. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you because God has some great and awesome things for Samuel and Samson and Joseph and others. These things turned out to be much more than they realized. And it's usually the same for all of us. They turn out to be a whole lot more real than what we realize. Real, and not only that, more powerful than you know. So powerful that you can't do it. God always leaves room in his plan and purpose for himself to do it. Amen. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah.